From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to the show This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good crack. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and this episode sounds a little different, Marvin.
It sure is a little different. You want to know why, guys?
I'm sure they would love to know why.
It's like a Chinese fortune cookie. You're in bed.
What?
You know how you do that at the end of the Chinese fortune cookies? You open it up
and
it's like,
okay,
you will have a great life if you follow your dreams.
In bed. Gotcha. Yeah.
You're okay. In our bed, everybody.
You're literally in between Mary and I.
Yeah, it's like you were our baby and we're co-sleeping and you're in between us, except you're an iPhone baby, which, you know, is kind of a baby to many people.
Yes. So we're recording this on our iPhone right now. So if it does sound a little bit different, that is the reason why. And we're recording on our iPhone because Mary is...
Oh, my God.
Beyond...
Guys.
I'm surprised she's even awake right now.
Me too. But I've got great news.
What's that?
They're going to let me into the long COVID clinic.
They are.
Next month. But I think they heard my sob story and they told me I can come in.
Good.
So, God forbid, if this continues into May.
Ladies and gents, I just want to say that you are missing a sight. Thank God we are not live right now.
I've got a bruised face. I decided to do some facial cupping.
Braless.
Oh, yeah.
with eye treatments.
My eye mask treatments because I'm a mess. I've got a humidifier next to me.
But you know what? I will say that you're toughing it out, and I really appreciate it.
Well, and this was my idea. You know, of course, Blake being my sweet, amazing perfectionist husband that he is, has been like, all right, we got to do it in the studio. We got to go live. It looks great. Looks great in there. And
who, my Crookshanks?
I don't even know who you are, but... But
you're a wizard, Harry. We're not in the studio, so I can't play the sound.
You know, I just can't. I can't right now. A, you don't want to see me. B, I can't even sit in those chairs right now. So even if we did this audio,
those are comfy chairs. Not like the old ones we used to have. Remember those?
I'm laying down in my bed with a heat pad on my back, a humidifier blowing on me. It isn't like this in our studio. So know that. You know, I want to talk about these shows. I want to do these things. And I could still talk sometimes. Sometimes I'm too tired to talk. I can talk like two good conversations a day.
So just know, ladies and gents, that...
We will be coming back one day.
Yeah, we're going back to the studio eventually, hopefully. And just know that this episode may be a tad shorter than normal, only because Mary is, as you can hear, quite sick, and I can't keep her up that much longer. I think we probably have a hard out in about...
We don't need hard outs. Let's just go, and then I'll let you know when I'm too tired.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, then, Marvin.
It's your story time.
It's my story?
It's a story, Blake. I'm reading the document for once.
Finally, when we're not in studio, you can read.
I don't even have my glasses on. I'm just using the force.
To be honest, I don't even really have a story, I don't think.
Really?
I don't think so. Well, here's something, I guess.
You never ran away from home?
Never ran away from home. I never did any of that.
I can't believe Randall and Rebecca had Reuben sandwiches. Or not Reubens, corned beef sandwiches or something.
Like I thought they were Reubens.
I thought they were Reubens too, and that's one of my favorite sandwiches.
So there you go. There's your story. Mary loves Reuben sandwiches. By the way, I can attest to that. She does. She actually quite loves Reubens.
No, I want a Reuben.
Well, if you
I know,
to
it's
get
funny
you a
that
Reuben,
you had this episode. Did you have this? Were you supposed to have this episode?
No, that was just in the in
yeah, because I'm thinking, I'm like, why is it not me? Because I'm Randall.
Right. I know. So, whatever. It doesn't matter. It is what it is.
Okay.
All right. Well, I wanted to remind you guys that you can, of course, check us out at maryandblake.com. Search for us on all the social media outlets just by, again, searching Mary and Blake. And be sure to check out our Facebook group, the Mary and Blake Facebook group. It's a really great place where you can check out all the amazing nerds that are there and talk about all the awesome shows that you love. And it's just a safe space for nerds who love the things that they love and want to geek out over it. I really enjoy being in that place. And it's actually a direct way you get a chance to make fun of me. So I don't know how anybody would ever pass that up. All right, Mavin, you ready to get into the show?
Always.
Let's do it. So the title of this episode was Every Version of You. It is directed by your boy, Justin Hartley. Good old Kevin.
Who was my boy?
I don't know. He's just your boy.
You make everyone my boy.
I know. Why not? Sure. He has directed, obviously, this episode, but also A Hell of a Week Part 3. So he is not opposed to directing these episodes. Once again, it's another example of This Is Us.
Just do what you want, man.
Yeah, it's another example of This Is Us just allowing its cast to have more of a creative say in their episodes. And I have to admit, I'm kind of in. I liked it. And the writer, oh, Justin Hartley's your boy.
Yeah.
This is my girl. It's my girl, Kay.
Oh, let's see if you can try it, Blake.
And I will always love you.
As if our sound quality wasn't bad enough to begin with.
That is my best impression of Whitney. And that is the only time you will ever hear me sing Whitney like that ever again.
You're welcome.
I wish I had our soundboard. Okay. Kay has written episodes of This Is Us. She's been around for This Is Us for quite some time as a story editor or an assistant writer or a staff writer. But the episodes that she has specifically written herself are A Philadelphia Story, R&B, The Dinner and the Date, After the Fire, 40 Part 1, 40 Part 2, Birth Mother, Every Version of You, This Big, Amazing, Beautiful Life, That'll Be the Day, The Most Disappointed Man, and I Call Marriage. Mary just took a picture of us in bed podcasting. So, that's great. Hopefully we can put that up on the socials. I think we should.
No, I'm not putting that on socials. That is a private message.
All right. What do you got for your Lemonades rating, Mavin?
You know, I'm giving it a 4.8, just like last episode.
Okay, good. All right, good. Very good. I'm going to give it a 4.72.
That's crazy talk.
It's not crazy talk. This is the last season. We're going down to the hundreds.
Oh my God.
And I liked it better than the Kevin episode.
Okay.
But I didn't like it as much as the Kate episode, which is a huge step in the right direction for me. The fact that I liked the Kate episode as much as I did, that is enormous, Marvin. So, but I thought that this episode was good, and I feel like it sits right in between the big three episodes,
mm-hmm.
And it finally, as you kind of alluded to or suggested earlier in the podcast,
you say, a lot.
I do. Sorry. It's a crutch. I got a crutch. What can I do? As you mentioned in one of the earlier episodes, Mary, now I'm going to be conscious of
good.
It. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The Randall episode, this comes from the woman who says wonderful every 3 minutes.
Not
so,
as you say.
So I feel like this episode,
you're going to hear so many pauses now, and you will realize how often Blake would have normally filled it with
It's okay.
I know.
It's all right. One day I'm going to call out your crutch.
It's all
right. Right on live podcasting.
I don't have a big crutch right now.
And you do. And we'll find it.
Okay.
So,
good luck.
This episode, Mary, as was suggested in one of our earlier episodes, the Randall episode finally gives, I think, some legitimacy to the two flashback episodes, or not episodes, but the flashback sequences for each of these episodes,
mm-hmm.
especially the teenage version of the big three, yeah, or the very early 20s version of the big three. Mm-hmm. I think it finally does that. What do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
Oh, my good is that the pool Randall, because, you know, we always saw Kevin as the athletic one, mm-hmm, and little pool Randall, why was he not on a swim team growing up? If he took to the water that quickly and that easily.
That's a good point.
You know, we never got to see him be athletic. Mm-hmm. We got to see him run because of anxiety stuff.
Sure.
But I kind of feel like, you know, if he was this good at swimming, maybe he could swim for... Like, how cool would that have been instead of him running, mm-hmm, if he had been
a swimmer? Yeah. Well, I think it goes to show you that they were probably figuring it out as...
Yeah.
They were going along.
Because I would have chosen that.
I would have chosen that as well.
Because one of the cool things when you swim, for someone who has an anxious mind like mine, is you get severely desensitized. It's like you're wearing earplugs a lot because it's white noise. You know, like you, if you're in a racing environment, obviously you can occasionally hear people screaming. But, you know, say you're doing the backstroke, like your ears are in that water.
We know how much you love all your different strokes.
A backstroke is my favorite. And it's honestly probably for that reason.
Yeah.
Because you have to tune it out. And, you know, here we are in a day and age where, like, your smartwatch or your smartphone's on you all the time. Not in the pool.
Yeah, you can't have it.
You know, you can have it on you when you're running.
Sure.
Because you're listening to music.
You're lifting weights.
Yeah. Like, you think about it. Think about all the times you exercise and you have some kind of thing in your ear still. You're listening to something. So I just loved that little Randall took to that water. And he was the star pupil.
Yeah, you're right. He was the star pupil. And maybe it's making more of a commentary on...
Well, little Randall was always just... His storyline was oftentimes him being adopted and him being black. Mm-hmm. So I like that this had nothing to do with that at all.
Yeah,
to him being swimming, nobody said like, oh, wow. You know, nobody made a racial connotation, you know, about
brown
boy swimming.
If anything, it spoke to his character directly, right? Because he was the kid that was doing his own thing, right?
Yes.
And he noticed that his family was doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. It showed a subtle source of separation,
yeah,
as a child, that distinction, but not in a way that was like overt. It was subtle.
Race.
Yeah, it was just subtle. And yes, it was a subtle thing that if you wanted to interpret it that way, you could. But I don't think that's a valid interpretation. I think it speaks more to the thing of Randall sees himself as other. But he still always takes it upon himself,
yeah,
to bring the family together. And that's what he does by the end of the episode.
Yes.
Which is why I find that this flashback finally gives legitimacy,
yes,
to the flashback sequences.
But that he can be strong and he doesn't always have to be with his family.
Right.
You know, so I do. I just really loved little pool Randall for all those reasons.
Yep, you're bad.
My bad. You know... I'm just so sick of teenagers.
We don't even have teenagers.
I know. I just love how Randall was able to even say that to Kevin. Like, you just wait. Like, at least you don't have teenagers. And I assume parents of teenagers right now are shaking their heads saying, yep.
You just wait.
They're pretty much saying, you know nothing, Jon Snow, to people like us, you know. So it just makes me fearful of teenage years.
Yes.
And
you agree.
My great was that right away, Rebecca said, I'm coming with you.
Oh, okay. You would totally do that.
I know.
You would absolutely do that. And you'd be like, Blake, get my bags. The bags that I haven't packed yet. Guaranteed.
Miguel
didn't even fight back. He's, yeah, okay, no problem. All right. Didn't even say anything. Wasn't even like, hey, Rebecca, you want to talk
know
about
why?
This? Or why?
He knows she won't remember if she forgot anything.
You said it, not me.
Nope.
You said it,
listen,
not me.
Listen. We can't joke every once in a while.
Oh, you got to see the humor.
While we're in bed.
I know. Hey, we can joke in bed.
I'm just going to make in bed jokes the entire time. That's the theme of this episode.
My good. I actually have a tie. The first one is Rebecca tries to have a... Well, Rebecca tries to not have a conversation with the... older version, not older, I'm sorry, the 20-year-old version of Randall or a teenage version of Randall. And what she does, she says, "Don't let me keep you." It's the same exact phrase that Jack said to him, or the Jack's mother said to him.
Aww.
Every single time. And not only that, but Randall does the opposite of what Jack did to his mother. Randall stays on the phone and Randall surprises his mother with cookies that she didn't see.
Oh my god, those freaking cookies.
Oh, do you know that the smiley face, the way that it works right now,
no,
it, the smiley face, like the way that that is interpreted today, like the yellow with the smile and the dots, was invented in Worcester, Massachusetts. Yep, just throwing that out there.
I don't really like the smiley face.
Okay, well,
just like I don't like I heart NY.
See, that's a brilliant design.
Hey, it's up to interpretation.
Okay, fair enough. And then there was also the shot, the spectacular shot, the one that made it worth it, this trip. Not the Reuben. It was the shot of Rebecca, Deja, and Randall all in the same car. And none of these people are actually biologically related in any way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet they're all family.
Yeah.
They're all in the car. And Deja does the thing that Randall has to do as well. And she says, "I'm sorry for the way that I acted. You are my dad and you're the only one that I've ever had." And Randall should at least say the same thing to Rebecca, like especially after trying to make her to do the thing in St. Louis,
the study. Listen, I'm like, all about studies. Didn't you just hear me?
I know.
I'm like, oh, there's a long COVID study clinic.
I know.
Sign me up.
But I just love the fact that Randall could feel the same exact way and should feel the same exact way towards Rebecca, and just having all three of them in the car. Is in that shot of all three of them together is just such a gorgeous moment for the show and what it's trying to accomplish. I will say this. The bad is all of this stuff with Malik and Deja. What a letdown.
I'm telling you, man. Teenage.
What a letdown.
But how true is that? You know what I mean? When the parent knows this isn't going to end well.
I know, but when you think about it on them,
find it on their own way.
When you think about it, I think on a macro level, this feels to me like a casualty of COVID.
What do you mean?
My sense is that there was much more planned
for Malik and
Deja, and there was much more planned for like the likes of Cassidy and all the hashtag who were they.
Oh, okay.
And then COVID struck
and they were like, "You're the B team."
Yes. Yeah, so you
and
know we're gonna
have so many face shield masks.
Yeah. Our budget only allows for 20 masks.
We're only allowed one twin baby per episode.
So my sense is that Malik in this whole story was a casualty of COVID.
Aww.
And
Can we like see something different? I'm sensitive to that word.
And I think that they did their best to give to truncate that story, because maybe we were getting this no matter what.
Okay.
But the way that it played out was just so haphazard.
I'm actually quite fine with it.
Oh, well, I mean, that's fine. I'm just telling you that's how I feel. And they had to find a way to not give him a send off, but just like something that was resembling of a send-off.
To me, it was a way for Deja to break free, you know, from the family as an adult, and to have that conflict with Randall, because she and Randall were always so close and they do have adoption in common. But Deja is also the oldest of the children.
Yeah, but
when so that happens when kids do start to be seniors and move out and say, no, I have my own voice and my thoughts and my own plans. And she has the added element of saying, and you're not my dad. And I think that for her to have that as a big challenge for them.
Yeah.
Is eventual, is probably something that, you know, a big fight like that happens with every teenager and their parent. So to me, yeah, we didn't get a lot of depth with Malik, but the Deja Randall, I mean, think about like in the flash forwards, it is Deja and Randall hugging.
Yeah.
So I like that they went through this journey of, oh my God, she's having sex and she's my little girl. And no, she's not your little girl. And
I will say it just feels a little cheap and it feels a little haphazard.
Hey, it was my bad too, because I'm just like over teenagers.
But my great was all of the little.
Ooh, people might hear Lumos purr.
I know, it's true. All of the little flash scenes of with Rebecca and Randall when she's looking at him as a young kid or a teenager or
reading and
brushing their teeth. And
yes. Besties.
Like, that is everything. Again, it's flashy, and I love when shows get flashy.
Yeah.
And I love these little, again, The Leftovers was truly incredible mm-hmm. at this. And I think it really helped usher in this style filmmaking or this style film editing. Not to say that it you know, it invented it. It certainly didn't.
But
it helped usher it in into the mainstream of what we're watching now. And I love everything that the show chose to do in this regard. And I love the fact that it was even more special to me that Rebecca remembers looking at Randall as a little kid in the car. And then we have the last part of the episode with Randall looking at Deja.
Yeah.
Just such a special moment that to have that exclamation point, or even that it's not necessarily a bookend, but it's close to it. And I really like that. That was special.
To me, those little flash bits helped give weight to when Rebecca explains to Randall why she chose Kate over him, because when they do go back to the scene where Rebecca says, oh, Kate, like, you're the person who's going to be in charge of, you know, my final wishes.
Yes.
You see Randall be so hurt. And now, like, not only do we just know that that's Randall's personality, that he would want to take care of her and make sure he made all the right choices, but then to see all those little flash bits about the depth of their special relationship on top of it. Where it was always he and Rebecca against the other three, you know, not against, but they were two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I dig it. I agree with your great.
You know, I can't help. Well, no. I will say that this feels, and I know we've said this before, but it feels like a spiritual cousin
in bed,
to not only Memphis, but to Birth Mother. I think Birth Mother was almost a direct sequel to Memphis in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But this feels like a spiritual cousin of both, where...
You just get so deep in bed, Blake.
That's what she said. Man, so many opportunities for my soundboard.
I'm telling you.
I think... You know, Randall had an opportunity in those two road trip episodes, if you will, to find some peace with his parents, his biological parents. And it's not to say that he, you know, doesn't find peace with Rebecca. I think he does. I think, you know, especially after all of the
William
stuff and the I'll eventually forgive you. Like, they finally got a chance to see each other again for who they are. Mm-hmm. And not repair the relationship, but just evolve the relationship.
Think repair is a good word.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very... yeah, I think they did repair it.
And so it's not... It's easy to make the connection to the other two episodes because of, like, the... the thematic through line of it.
And being in a car.
And being in a car, yeah. And not only that, like, Randall's finds peace in Birth Mother in Memphis.
In the freaking water!
In the water, that's true. And finds peace
like a
through himself as an adult, but because of how he was treated as a child. Those two parents abandoned him. And in this episode, he finds peace with his mother that accepted him and also the child that he accepted. Mm-hmm. Right? Think of that. Think of that dichotomy and how he has to understand that, you know, Deja is technically not his biological child, but she still is his daughter, you know, and she is his dad. I mean, mm-hmm. he is her dad. I just find that really, really a beautiful, a beautiful comparison. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. I think that's good. So, you know, not a bad episode, Marvin. I will say that it wasn't my favorite.
I had to watch it twice to get the feeling that I wanted out of it.
Yeah.
I think because it was the third. I think because it was like, all right, we've seen this. We've seen Kevin pout. We've seen Katie say, no. Like, you know, we had to replay all this stuff. So a lot of the episode wasn't new.
Yep.
And because of that, I think my first viewing, I wouldn't have rated it as high as I did.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, in those repetitive parts, it was Randall that got to be the highlight in the end. So you've got to have it in context. But I enjoyed it a lot more the second time through for the current time frame.
So there's a moment when Rebecca, like, Randall is like clearly pissed at the beginning of the episode and he's like, he's ready to pop, man. He's going to Boston now, and he's gonna go with Deja.
I would have
now.
Done the same thing.
Yes, he would have. And part of me,
you would have too.
Yeah, I would have.
If Felicity ran away,
yes, I would have. Part of me thinks that Rebecca came along. Yes, I think to just be in a car with her son and share that time, but also because she knows her son. And I kind of got clued in on this when she's telling Randall, why don't you calm down? Let's relax. Mm-hmm. And I thought she made him stop to get something to eat. Yes, because of her pills and that's her life now and all that stuff, but because she knows he needs to chill.
Yes,
and you 100%. Know what? Like,
you know, she could have just had like Pringles and been fine.
Did she purposely make him stop?
Yes. They could have stopped at a Dunkin'. They're on the East Coast. They did not need to stop. Had she said, I need to pee, it's an emergency.
Yeah.
That, yes, you really do need to stop. Do they need to stop so she can get food for a pill? No, drive-through Dunks all up and down 95.
So all I'm
saying
is,
they're driving to Boston, for Pete's sake.
Oh, of course, I know. So just,
oh my God, did they stop in Rhode Island for a Reuben?
No, they stopped in Connecticut.
Ah.
Freaking Connecticut.
Oh my
Connecticut
God, do they have
sucks.
Good Reubens there?
I don't know.
We're going to find out.
I doubt it, because Connecticut sucks.
You think that they just made up a Reuben place?
Sure. Because Connecticut's got nothing good.
They have great pizza.
Nah.
They've got great pizza.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that Frank Pepe's or whatever.
Whatever. Whatever, love we got that. Better pizza here in Rhode Island.
I don't know.
Wait, excuse me.
Not
Caserta
that
pizza.
No, Caserta pizza isn't a wood fire.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, Caserta is my favorite.
Thank you.
And then we've got the pizza strips here in Rhode Island that people don't have.
I'm out on that. Out on pizza strips.
Luckily, the rest of us
weird.
Are in it.
Weird.
Okay, continue, Blake.
Anyway.
Nobody needs to know.
Who wants pizza
food?
That's just bread and sauce with no cheese?
It defies
the nature of real pizza.
No, it's a special sauce. It's a Sicilian sauce. It's a sweet pizza sauce.
Pizza is cheese, sauce, and bread.
Not if you're lactose intolerant.
Then you don't eat pizza. You eat sauce and bread.
No.
Don't call it pizza.
It's called party pizza. Bakery pizza.
Nope,
look it up.
If any other you nerds out there have ever heard of this party pizza.
In a different state.
Or bakery pizza, whatever. You just look it up and you'll see it's not pizza.
And if you
it's
want,
just bread
you
and sauce.
You have a little bit of Parmesan cheese sprinkled on top. It's
then
amazing.
Just get real cheese.
No.
Ay, ay, ay.
None of us want the cheese on it.
Here's something that the show does, and I don't know if this was intentional. I imagine that it is, because again, we've always talked about, as a Mary and Blake Media commitment, every single shot, every single line of dialogue, every song, everything has to have a point. It must serve a purpose.
Reason for the season.
And what does Rebecca and Randall sit in front of after they stay the night? They sit in front of a closed down pool to have the conversation. Oh, see, now that is the kind of subtlety that I love. What? What are you laughing at?
I forgot I ordered this on Amazon.
Wait, just describe it.
Okay.
Say what it is.
It looks like a Snuggie for your face. It's just a big compression wrap.
It looks
wraps.
Like a torture device.
It looks like Grover from Sesame Street wrapped around your face. Amazon said something's coming, and I forgot that I ordered this thing.
Show the title. Oh, yeah, show
it's
the
called
title.
Hugaroo.
Hugaroo
store. It's a tension headache relief that looks like Grover wrapped around your face.
Grover.
And you microwave it. Okay.
Super Grover.
Pool.
Yeah, the closed down pool. Now that is the kind of subtlety that I really, 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 really like. As she's telling Randall, I couldn't choose you because you would absolutely stop everything in your life for me. And that's why I love you. But you couldn't do that. I can't make you do that. And he says to her, he knows that he's going to succeed. Like, he knows it deep in his bones. This thing, whatever it is, he's going to do.
You know what he wants to do. He wants to run for president.
Well, that's a good question.
He says it multiple times.
Well, no, he says he wants to run for Senate.
No, he tells the cop, and I'm going to be president one day.
Well, oh, yeah, as a teenager. But I'm saying as an adult, he's not saying he's going to be president.
You know.
Do you think the show is going to go down that road?
Yes.
I really hope not.
Heck, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. You want to know why?
I wanted to be president too.
Again, it's just more evidence that the writers listen to us because I know we have for damn sure talked about that. No, I don't. I hope that they don't do it. And the reason why I hope they don't do it is because the last time that Randall went all in on a political office, we got stuck with.
We're not going to get stuck. It's just going to be in the future. It's just going to be a thing.
I know, but we also have the whole potential of him becoming a senator. So what I'm saying is,
yeah,
I don't
think he does that first.
I don't want to get bogged down again, especially.
Would you feel better if he's VP?
No, I don't want any of that. Because not only do I not want any of the political stuff anymore, but the show itself, and you know this, Mary, the show does its best work when it's just surrounding and centered upon the family itself, the family dynamic.
I'm fine with
that. And when it introduces this larger cascade of events.
They don't need to. That's what
I hope
saying.
Not.
They don't need to get into that. It can just be a thing. Just like they explain why Kevin has an Emmy, they could just be like, oh, and then Randall's special job.
I wonder. Well, you know what? That's all right. Fine. I will give you my hot take right now. You ready for my hot take right now?
Yeah.
All right. My hot take right now is this. Either Randall becomes the senator in Washington.
He becomes a senator at least.
And he gives up the notion of becoming the president when Rebecca's wicked sick.
Okay.
Like he's running and then Rebecca gets like wicked super sick. And then he bows out of the race. And that's why Beth in the future is like seems a little mad when she's like, yeah, we're going to see her. Like, because she's a little upset that Randall isn't going to become president because his mother's sick.
I mean,
and Randall stops his life to take care of his mother. The other one I got is that Randall becomes a senator.
Okay.
And he is as
busy
as he is, doing his thing. He is too busy for his mother. And he is in the middle of running to be president during
Him. I'd love for him to be running for president while she's sick. And then she can be proud of him and say, do it for me. I believe in you.
It'll be interesting to see if that happens.
I have no problem with his political ambitions.
I don't know. I find him...
You just don't like people running for politics.
No, it's not that. I love political shows. I was a huge fan of The West Wing.
No, but like people you care about.
No, it's just that this show isn't about that.
I know, but why can't it just be that that is part of his journey? Just like music is going to be part of Jack's journey. We don't need to see him take music lessons every lesson.
Yeah,
I think that enough has been established that if they say, and then he became senator, or then he ran for president, that's all we need and we would believe it. This is to show you that Randall Pearson, and he says it to his mom, when I set my mind to something, I do it. If I run, I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. I said that same exact phrase.
What did you...
remember?
I do. I absolutely remember.
Because I went to run for Congress.
Yeah. Leslie Knope over here. What did you buy, or did you buy...
Not a Reuben.
Definitely didn't get a Reuben.
In bed.
Reuben in bed. did you buy the conversation between Randall and the cop?
Yeah.
And the whole thing... how that was treated.
I do.
Actually, I kind of buy that too. I kind of buy the fact that like Kate is saying like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to us right now. And Kevin like trying to throw the beer away. He's like, yeah, this is a beer. Sorry. And then Randall being like, all right, I got this. Yeah. Once again, showing that he's the one who is the caretaker of the family. He's the one who can do the things that he can do to maneuver the family in the way that it needs to be maneuvered.
To care
for them. Yeah, like, again, it's special that Rebecca does have this knowledge and she does have that foresight to say, like, okay, if we did this, you would ruin your life. Well, not ruin, but you would stop everything in your life. And there's just no way you should do that.
You know what I loved? Was Rebecca cutting out the article about her son.
Yep.
Ordering his favorite wine. Reading the book he's been reading.
Oh, I know.
And him not even knowing. Like, for her to do that, that means that she didn't call him and say, oh, Randall, I read the article and it's so cool and I love it. Like, he was genuinely surprised when, you know, she mentioned that kind of wine, which hysterical. They're at, like, a nobody pub.
Yeah.
And there she is. Let's go get a drink.
Yeah. You want to drink with your mom? In the sticky floors.
Yeah.
Does it say, is there a little bit of a commentary here about the fact that she says to Randall, I don't want to be the person that holds you back anymore, but she has no problem doing that for Kate?
She's not holding Kate back.
Yeah, but
Kate
implicit in that sentence is that she recognizes that she's holding Kate back a little bit. Because by her choosing Randall, that means she knows she's holding him back. But by her choosing Kate, it's as if she doesn't mind she's holding Kate back.
I didn't take it that way at all. I think, you know...
Oh, I'm not saying I took it that way. I'm just saying, is there room for interpretation there?
I don't think so. I mean, Randall is on the opposite side of the country. Okay? So if he was this caretaker, and if things did move really quickly... I mean, I don't know the timeline for the cabin being built. I don't know the timeline for Rebecca moving in. And he has three teenagers, very busy life, and is involved in politics. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kate has, like, babies right now. So, you know the baby life. You don't have a life. So she lives down the street from her mom. She's got these babies.
Yep.
She probably hangs out with her mom every day anyway, because you know she only has movie night with Madison once a year. So, I did not interpret it as she's holding Kate back. I actually see it as lifting Kate up. That giving Kate that kind of a responsibility wouldn't just be one more thing added to Kate's pile, but a great honor and a lot of self-worth.
Fair enough. Randall says to to Rebecca, oh, maybe we should just let Kate handle it, you know, since she handles all the big stuff now.
Oh, I would have done that same thing.
Absolutely. And that's the way that the episode begins. Well, not begins, but, you know, within the first 10 minutes or so, that's what happens.
So you never would say things like that in your family. You
no.
wouldn't just be like, I'm just going to say it as it is.
No.
And then apologize. Not that I didn't mean it, but apologize for being hurtful.
No, that really didn't happen all that much. It didn't really happen all that much.
Is it just because you didn't have those kind of feelings?
I'm sure that I did, but part of me, I think, was conditioned to the fact that okay, I know I'm not going to get anywhere by saying something like that.
Because you do
and
that
all
to
it's going
to
do.
You'll speak like that to me.
Not very often.
No, not of course not very,
very
often.
No,
Randall doesn't do
that
it
is,
to his mom very
I know,
often.
But that rarely happens.
No, I know.
Very rarely.
But I'm saying you have the comfortability level that you would.
Well, I'm also older now, and I've been married to you for 11 years, so I'm sure you have rubbed off on me.
You say
in bed.
Oh man.
I'm just saying there's a difference between when I was younger into the person I am now. So, and yes, like
hashtag facts, Blake.
No, what I'm saying is our relationship has precipitated that difference.
But that's what I'm getting at is that I think when you're with your family, whether it's siblings or your parents or your partner, because you've been together and through so much that sometimes you just say it as it is in that moment. You say your pain,
yeah,
and you say it in a way that it hurts them.
Are you disappointed that the show didn't go down that road a little bit more? Meaning, you know, I mean, it was a sweet moment by the closed off pool that Randall and Rebecca have, right? And we have the single tier and the whole thing. A sweet moment, but it doesn't dive deep down into Randall's feelings, and it doesn't dive down into Rebecca's feelings, really. It just kind of whistles past that graveyard a little bit for the sake of sentimentality, right? So what I'm getting at is Randall, like, legitimately tries to have emotional warfare with his mother a couple of seasons ago, being like, no, you have to do this for me. You're going to do this for me. And then it's just like, yeah, okay, never mind.
Listen, man, that's how it is with people like us, okay? We speak our minds, we lay it all on the table, and you know you come from love. But sometimes you got to trudge through some stuff. You got to clean out some infections. You got to scoop that blood.
Well, that's
out.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, are you
heals.
A little upset?
No, because it heals when you care for things. When you think about an infection, you
no,
think about
no, no.
A big wound.
I think you're missing my point. My point is this: they didn't really get in there and scoop out the wound.
Oh my God! What were all these past seasons of Rebecca and Randall?
They really didn't. They never even addressed it.
I think you need to do some rewatches.
I probably should, because I don't remember a specific time that sort of conversations had between the two. I know it happened between Kate and he, and I know that it definitely happened between Kevin and he, but not Rebecca.
I'm like 99.9% sure that there's a whole episode dedicated to that.
I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong. Nerds, let me know if I'm wrong. All right, Marvin, do you have anything else you'd like to say about this episode? We're already at a pretty good clip here, and I could see you starting to devolve.
Oh, I know. It sucks.
I know.
I just started to deflate.
You got anything else? How about the memento box that she keeps?
Oh,
man.
What else do you think's in there?
I don't know yet.
And is it, because here's how I'm thinking about the memento box. Is it to remind her as she loses her memory?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why she's trying, now it's time to take all those pictures.
Or is it for them to have when she's dead?
Both.
Ah,
both.
Man.
Kill two birds with one stone.
I'm going to make a memento box.
We already got some.
I need better ones, though. That's the basic. Let me tell you, having long COVID.
No, those things are waterproof. Those things are legit.
Yeah, they're in a shoebox.
No, they're not in a shoebox. They're in the the big plastic Rubbermaid containers.
Oh, you're thinking about a different thing.
Oh, okay. Well, whatevs.
He was a fancy. You're not the one failing at life right now. You got time.
All right, Malvin, you ready for some in or out?
Always.
All right, want to let you know that In or Out is brought to you by jointhenerdclan.com. It is a special place, a much loved place where you can get Grover wrapped around your head, just like Mary.
Oh my God, are you going to show that picture?
I'm going to.
You know what? I will model it for our friends at jointhenerdclan.com.
Yes, when you get it, that is going to be a bonus.
Oh, you know it. Because I could have chosen a black one.
Yes, you could have.
But I went for blue, man.
You went for blue. So if you...
Go home. In bed.
Ladies and gents, if you are hearing this, when you hear this, send us a blue dot or something in the messages or on our
It makes
walls.
Us chuckle when you all do that.
Oh, I love that. It's one of my favorite things. When I just get like random stuff
over the internet. That's what I do to my phone. I'm like, yeah.
I still get random messages from everybody from like the random things that we... I get them now and I don't even remember what we call them out for.
I love it.
Like I got one for lipstick the other day. I don't even remember what the lipstick was.
Right back.
I know. Like, what was this for again? So yeah, if you hear this, it makes you laugh. Thinking about Grover being wrapped around Mary's face. Send us a big blue dot.
In bed. Oh, went there.
So go to jointhenerdclan.com where you will be able to see Mary modeling Grover. And that's what we're going to call it from now on.
Hot
guaranteed.
It's going to be warm too.
Hot Grover. Jointhenerdclan.com. That's where it's all at.
What's it going to be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right, Marvin. In or out on...
This episode never ends. Yep.
Creamsicles.
I'm in.
Out. Want nothing to do with
creamsicles. You know what I love about it?
Weird.
When the icy orange part dissolves first because of the high water consistency compared to the cream consistency in the middle. So it kind of, it's like two pops in one.
In bed.
The orange just kind of pops off and then you're like, oh, sweet. I got a white pop.
Oh, man, no.
I'm out on
creamsicles suck. My mother used to love creamsicles and she'd be like, taste it, it's good. And it's just awful. Just awful. All right, in or out on sticky floors in a bar?
Like, you know how I feel about this situation.
The listeners don't.
Oh, my God. Guys, there is nothing that will get me in a worse mood on a Saturday night than if people expect me to go to a sticky floor bar.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That is not my place.
I remember there was one time when we first started. Well, not when we first, but like when we
were... It was pretty early
we started
on,
dating.
And I did get crabby in front of you about it. We went out with your friends.
We went out with my friends in Boston.
God, a sticky bar.
And they wanted to go to a sticky bar. One that I didn't want to go to. Did not want to go.
Sticky bar means like people party there so much and spill so much beer.
Yeah.
That no matter how much you wash it, the floor is still sticky.
Yeah, it's just a sticky floor.
Especially
no matter
if
what.
They're like in flip flops.
And you can hear it.
And I'm a Rhode Island girl. I'm not one of these Boston hussies, you know, walking around in their high heels with their boot with their booty shorts.
MTV girls.
Yeah. Oh, TV girls. I'm like in my flip flops, like straight from the beach, and flip flops
and Mary
stick to stick.
Mary was not happy that night.
Oh my God.
I tried everything I could.
House, and then they said, "Let's go to the sticky bar floor." Oh my God.
It was Don Jose Tequila's. That's where it was.
Oh my God. I was so mad.
All right. In or out on dots?
I'm in.
I'm in on dots.
I like aerodynamics.
Yeah, sure. You know, why not?
I especially
You're
love.
Such a dork. I like aerodynamics.
I especially love our kids' new dart set, which is magnetic, which is improperly weighted because of the heavy magnets on the front. So, was it you or was it my mom? Who was trying to play.
It was your mother, and she couldn't do it.
Because my mom is good at regular darts, and she didn't understand why when she threw it, it would nosedive.
It would just keep going down.
But it's because it's a heavy, fronted, weighted magnet.
In or out on smiley faces?
Out.
I love smiley faces.
Good for you.
Good for you!
Good for you! You're happy and healthy with your fine smiley face.
In or out on the state of Connecticut?
You know... You want to know why I'm in right now?
Why?
Because all I want is to go to the Stars Hollow towns. I'm in.
Well, Stars we got
Hollow.
One of them in Rhode Island.
No.
Yeah.
It does not count, and you know it.
It does count.
I'm going. Friends, if you're a fan of the Gilmore Girls, just Google.
The one good thing about
Stars
Connecticut
towns, you bet
is it. A fake town. It doesn't even exist.
There's many towns that it's modeled after, and they even have Gilmore Girls festivals.
I'm willing to go.
Rename the coffee shop Luke.
I'm in. Let's do it. But
I've asked you to do
that's
it
the
me.
One good Connecticut's one thing that it's like really good at is fake.
And you know what else I love?
What?
The Yale Museum.
Oh god.
The Yale Peabody Museum with one of the Friggin' best Yale. Fossil exhibits. Oh my god.
Oh,
the
historic nerd.
Turtle that they have.
Mary
there.
Just woke up. Yeah. Mary just woke up, ladies and gents.
And the amount of taxidermied birds of prey. Holy smokes. Oh my god. I flip damn. In love. Google that, friends. If you're a nerd, Google the Yale Peabody Museum. You're gonna see the giant dinosaur turtle. They have an amazing, but you know what's sad?
What's that?
It's closed for like a whole year.
Oh.
But when it reopens, it's going to be free to the public.
Oh.
So if you live in the area, or if you're ever going to be driving through Connecticut, mm-hmm. Yale is a very pretty college. And
Yale sucks.
Oh my God. No, it doesn't. Yeah, you're just jealous because you're not smart enough to get into Ivy.
I don't care.
I know. Matter. I know you don't care.
Doesn't matter. Sucks. Just like Harvard.
Just like your grades.
My grades didn't suck. Yeah. My SAT sucked. All right. In around longest running joke in Mary and Blake media history. Mary doing better at her SATs than
you're
me.
Welcome.
In around on running for president. Mary, I know your answer. What is it?
Wicked in.
Leslie Knope. Mary is the a real life Leslie Knope. In around Reuben sandwiches.
Oh my God, Blake, you know. I'm down.
But the listeners don't. I am way out on running for president. Whoever wants that job? That job is the worst job on the planet. The worst. And you don't even get paid all that. It'd be like one thing if like you got paid like a lot of money to do it. You don't even get paid a whole ton of money. You're there and you're taking.
What do you even have to spend money on?
You're taking everybody's crap.
Do you pay rent? Probably not.
No, you don't.
You don't have a car bill.
Definitely don't. I'm just saying.
You don't even need to pay for a poopa scoopa.
No, you don't. I'm just telling you, if I'm going to be president of the United States, I want to have the money.
You don't even need, it's like Monopoly money. Whatever you want, you get.
No, out. And out on Reuben sandwiches.
Why?
Because the bread, I don't like the bread.
Okay, you can switch the bread, Blake. They allow you to do
that. Yeah, but the real Reuben is supposed to have the bread. Rye. The rye bread. I'm out on rye bread. And then...
What?
I'm out on rye bread.
You're out on olive bread as well. I don't know how we're together.
Yeah, because olives are gross.
Oh my God, continue. What else do you hate about Reuben?
And then you get the Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah?
It's too much.
I don't even know what's in it. Thousand things.
Sure. It's ketchup and mayo. That's what it really is.
Oh, that's delicious.
It is delicious. I will grant you that.
Yeah.
But the Thousand Island on the Reuben with all the stuff...
The kraut?
Too much. Too much. Too much.
All the meat.
Wait, in bed.
Do you like turkey Reubens?
No, it's too much. It's too many things going on.
So it's not the corned beef that's your problem.
No, I love corned beef.
It's everything else.
You
just want to
just give me a plate of corned beef.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
Give me the Reuben, hold everything except for the corned beef. Thanks.
Oh my God.
All right, in or out on Chianti Classical wine?
I don't think I like Chianti.
Really?
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay. I do.
Okay, then you're in. In a row.
What's the red I don't like?
I don't think there's red that you don't like.
Let's be real.
Yeah, No, you don't like certain whites.
True.
Yeah, you don't like the Pinot Gris. You're not in on that.
Really?
Yeah, you're not in on that. You don't like the Blanc, the whatever the hell.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, Sauvignon Blanc. You really don't like that.
Oh, I hate the ones that taste like flowers.
Oh, yeah. No, those are the worst. All right. In or out on Cat Stevens. Because, again, This Is Us loves itself some Cat Stevens. I feel like they're playing the Cat Stevens card a little too hard.
I mean, I'm neither in nor out.
I think he's there. I'm not going to be like, hey, you know what I'm going to listen to today? Yeah, Cat Stevens.
Never.
Wouldn't do that. Would never do that.
Agreed.
It's okay if you're trying to say... But like they've played the Cat Stevens card so much now, where it's like, all right, calm down. Let's take a step back. Why don't we find somebody else to like include on the soundtrack?
Okay.
All right.
Chaka.
I hate that song so much.
Call Me Al.
Oh my God, it's the worst song. Oh. All right. Lastly, I already know the answer to this. I'm already smiling.
I can't even see it.
In a rubber?
Oh, no.
On the Scholastic Book Club?
Oh my god, I'm so in. I'm so in that, like, when our kids come home with the book order stuff,
such a nerd.
Blake, like, wants to just put it straight in the recycling bin. Well, look at me. I'm, like, trying to act like you're nice.
No, right in the trash. Blake
is the worst recycler. Ugh, one of our things that we fight the most about is Blake's ineptitude at recycling. Throws pineapple tops
in. I'd be fine if he was actually recycled. What you do is you just put it either next to the sink or in the sink. You wait for me to put it in the recycling bin, which is outside.
You actually recycle, Blake. Stop fibbing.
I know.
Stop making people think that you actually care about the environment.
I don't.
We all know you don't.
I don't. There's a great story. I'm telling you the story.
I don't want to hear a story about not recycling. It will actually make me upset.
There's a great story.
Blake, I don't want to hear it.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
If you're going to talk about not recycling.
I was going to tell the polar bear story.
I definitely don't want to hear that. Goodbye. So what did you ask me? Scholastic Book Club?
Scholastic Book Club.
I'm super in.
Oh, God. You're such a dork.
I love it so much. And you I love totally the summertime kid, book that... reading list at the,
oh, at, a, my God.
At the library. And then when you go into the library
summertime
once a week
reading
and they give you stickers.
List.
And then it's like if you read 10 books, they give you a free ice cream cone. You read 20 books, they give you a free ticket
just
to the zoo.
Go to the zoo.
Blake, I was poor. Okay? My parents would say.
Sneak in.
No, you, Blake, I
you
was like eight.
In.
No.
You find a way.
If my, trust me, so regular poor people, okay, when they were told you can get tickets to the museum, tickets to the aquarium, tickets to the zoo, okay, which for a family of four is like $100.
I would agree.
You know, my parents are like, read the damn books. Read the damn books and get the stickers from the
library. Read those books. No. We're going to the museum.
No, if you want to go, you read the books. We'll go get the stickers. And then I felt so much accomplishment for reading those books, checking them off, and then getting the
summer
to take my
reading.
Family for ice cream.
I don't think there's a worse creation on this planet than summer reading lists.
Blake, that's a really rude statement.
I don't think it's...
There's a war going on right now.
Well,
that's bad.
I was being hyperbolic.
Okay, then fine. There's sauerkraut or there's Thousand
Island
dressing. Yeah, Blake. Fine. We'll take it down to your level.
There are Rubens in the world, Blake.
Oh my God.
All right. You ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
All right, let's close it out. All right, everybody, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Mary and I in bed and be with us in bed and listen to the podcast. Hopefully you're in bed listening to the podcast. We can all be in bed together. Why not? We'll have some fun. Make some bad decisions.
Here we are.
Just throw some red wine in there because Mary loves all the red wine and some
not
bad
right
decisions.
Now.
go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great podcasts that are happening right now. Including Outlander Cast, as well as The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. And soon we will be tackling Bridgerton, hopefully when Mary is able to...
We're just going to start popping out some episodes in bed, and then I can catch up.
I think so. So we'll go from there. All the social handles, please, on Mary and Blake for YouTube and Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the good time stuff. Mary and Blake. And if you want to get in touch, please email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. And we did not do the Big Three listener feedback. I apologize for that. Obviously, we're not in our studio, so we don't have the capabilities of playing our voicemails. Do know that we got them.
You know what? Just add them right now and post.
Yeah, but we won't be able to comment on them.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay. Maybe next week we can play it, or I'm not sure what we're going to do.
Blake, we'll figure it out, but we'll make sure your voicemails are played.
We'll find a way to... They're not going to be played on this episode. It's not
this episode, but they'll be played in the next
episode. I'm sure that they will be played at some point, so we'll figure that out. That's it. That's all I got for you, Marvin.
That's nice.
All right. Well, my name's Blake.
You know you like to go that quickly. My name's Mary. Sorry, I was in the middle of a yawn.
And this is Us 2.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.